You are listening to the Furlough Bros Tech Podcast, episode 73, Avenging the Death of Xbox. I'm going to switch it up to a different tech company. As a friendly reminder, I do not represent HP or any of HP's opinions. Because we're going to talk about HP's next mobile strategy, potentially.
Yeah.
They might... I'm doing the time codes. I let you go way too long, man. That was over 33 minutes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
HP is potentially, it looks like, going to create another tablet and get on board with the A-Train.
Oh, the A-Train?
With Android.
Okay.
They are...
Apple?
Oh, but, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I guess they both have the same letter. No, they are thinking about doing... And I don't have any insider information. Just kind of reading off of what everyone else is... or what other people are reporting. But it sounds like HP might be playing with the whole Android thing. They just came out with that Chrome netbook recently.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they're getting in bed with the Googs.
Yeah.
I wonder how Microsoft feels about this.
Yeah, I wonder.
There have been little signs that I've seen that show that there's a little bit of contention between their relationship with Microsoft.
What do you mean?
Well, just like when Microsoft came out with the Surface, the HP's PC guy was just like, that thing's dumb.
All right.
And then they're just like absolute refusal to make a Windows 8 RT.
That's a good system. Point.
They're like, no, we're gonna do we'll do Windows 8. And we'll do convertibles, and you know we'll do that, and so you know, so they're there, but they're like they're not fully on board, and I think they might have started with like when they did do the WebOS thing, Microsoft was like, "What the heck, guys?"
Yeah,
and you know that obviously didn't work out well, but they I think are still looking around, and I think you know they might try something with the old Android here, and obviously what their trick is to be or their you know, what they need to try to do is figure out a way to distinguish themselves from the rest of the pack.
I'd say that is the challenge at this point.
Which, if HP wants to, and it sounds like they're going to focus on a high-end one first,
I was going to say
they can make good hardware.
I would compete direct. If I were HP, which for the record I'm not.
I would say
you almost want to go for the pro Android tablet, like you've got the pro iPad and the 128 gig iPad, or that market. Go for your really super high end and stuff. Which and it's funny
well,
because
HP's definitely aiming for the business enterprise sector, so it would make sense
right.
to do that.
And I think if they were to design a tablet, it's funny. This is something that I actually think HP could do that other companies couldn't. I really think that just because of their
size,
not their
aptitude,
size,
gumption,
no,
amazingness,
no,
smart
no,
employees.
You're not supposed to represent them right now.
Oh, my God.
I was going to say, because of the attitude that at least in America we have about HP, that they build laptops that you should go and buy. If you were going to buy a laptop for entertainment or
HP does
or
have
work,
a quality brand.
Yes, and that brand is something where I actually think they could, you know, Samsung part of their problem with Android was they didn't have to build cool tablets. They had to build a brand, and you know, a big part of the success of the Galaxy brand has been this whole branding deal. It's the Samsung Galaxy line of smartphones and tablets, and making it seem cool and making it seem like, yeah, I should go and buy it, and that it's a good product. Whereas HP is already kind of positioned where I think if they were to come out with like a 10-inch tablet, that runs Android, and it was, you know, fairly priced, you know, maybe a little, maybe $50 cheaper than an equivalent iPad, but it runs, you know, runs a clean stock version of Android with, you know, a couple of, or, you know, maybe not stock, but just a few additions to give it an HP flavor, but make it very much compete with the Nexus 10, but be better than the Nexus 10 and be able to compete at scale, I think it would be successful. I think people would really get excited about it. I think they would get as excited about it as they get about the Nexus 10. And if you were to do that at the same time as you came out with a 7-inch tablet, which is what everybody's buying right now, you know, and so you've got your high-end flagship stuff and then a very nice quality, maybe a little bit expensive, a little bit more expensive than the Nexus 7, but basically competes with it on basically the Nexus 7, but a little bit better, you know, a little bit more horsepower, a little bit more RAM, a little bit better build quality. People would be willing to spend $50 extra for the HP version if it's basically the same operating system. And then, you know, and as long as you have,
well, and that's my bet is HP is gonna, they're gonna do like all the other ones do, and they're gonna have they're gonna add a they're gonna call it a Touch Smart layer on top of it.
Yeah. Well, and you know, and it's not, that's not the worst.
Not to be confused with the Touch Smart hardware computer. It's different.
Right.
Trust me.
Different. Yeah.
But it's got to have the word smart in it. That's HP's deal.
Well, you know.
And the tablet itself will have some crazy number to it.
It's another.
Got to have it.
It's a style. But I think it's definitely the sort of thing where, you know, combine that with a decent marketing campaign. Dude, you're getting an HP. And I think you could really, you know, I actually think you're not going to sell crazy numbers. They aren't going to beat, you know, they're not going to cut down on all of the, they're not going to replace their computer division with tablet divisions all of a sudden. But, you know, if you could actually make a dent and start to establish yourself, establish a brand that says we can do mobile tablets, and, you know, that compete in quality with PCs or usability with PCs, and we can do what Google can do, but we've got better customer service, better scale. We can do what Samsung does, but we have, you know, better customer service, you know, and this is our bread and butter. We're better at hardware. I actually think,
well, they'll be able to do things like, and once again, going for the enterprise, they'll be able to bundle them with actual, you know, PCs for work, with printers, with servers and other services, you know, and so they'll be able to, you know, that's how they will hook people, is by doing these contracts and getting them into the hands of employees that way. And if it's generally a good piece of hardware, then
that's the thing.
You know, they'll go home and they'll say, "Hey man, I'll buy this at Best Buy."
Or, and you don't, you know,
Best Buy, but you know, somewhere else.
At this point, HP doesn't need to beat Apple. They don't need to beat Google. They don't need to beat Samsung. They need to establish themselves as a legitimate counter choice is all they really need to do. And if they can, that's all they need to do. What they absolutely, without question, without hesitation, they need to do establish themselves as a decent alternative, or it will be the end of HP in the next decade and a half. If this is like go time, it's time to do it. And I think that there is a strategy that will allow HP to do that. And it's really not very difficult. It's not a stretch. It's just come out with a competing product that's one, you know, from a horsepower perspective, it's one cycle ahead of everybody else. It's got the best RAM, best processor right now for the next 3 months, and get some good reviews, you know, get people thinking about it, sell a million of them, and, you know, and then just start developing the next one in 9 months. And, you know, and it'll be on, you know, HP will have, you know, will have done it, but it needs to happen, I think, and much sooner than later. but
agreed.
So interesting.
We'll see. There potentially could be unveiling it at the Mobile World event in Barcelona later. Is it in February or March? Actually, I know someone who's going there for a totally different reason. Slightly jealous. I was like, man, that'd be fun just to go to a mobile conference, and it'd be twice as fun to go to Spain.
Right. And yeah. So that, and then
you said, be like, what? I'm on your team. How come I can't go? Come on.
Right. Come on now. Is it, we're working together here, guys.
Yeah.
You said that's in March?
I don't remember. I already closed the page, man. I'm moving on.
That's all right.
No. I'm already pulling it up. It's good.
All right, well,
Mobile World Congress later this month. So all right. The end of February.
Cool.
Well, we may not unveil it, but we'll be holding private meetings to show it off.
Ooh, my bad. That's exciting. Well, you know, and that's when the chatter will start in mass, and we'll start to get.
Yeah, HP can't keep secrets. It's okay.
Yeah.
Neither can Microsoft.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Not in the sense that leaks, but in the sense that HP likes to get people excited about what's coming down the pipe.
Right. Which is not a bad strategy. Sometimes it's nuts that you don't know what's going on with Apple until the day before it happens. But sometimes. Usually it's just exciting and makes you all frothy in the mouth. But I'm glad you knew what I was talking about. So I was going to move on. Is that cool?
Do it.
Okay. So Samsung is in a weird position. They are having this issue where they're selling an unbelievable number of phones, occasionally outselling Apple. They did it once, and probably do it again, just the way these things go. But they are doing pretty well, selling a bunch of hardware. One of the big things is they're really able to sell in China, which Apple hasn't been able to figure out how to do that yet. And that's a
which we talked about last week. So
right.
You got to listen up. It's last week's.
So so that's been very helpful to Samsung because they are actually making money in that market, and it's helping them worldwide. It's helping the whole product line. But one of the things that everybody recognizes about Samsung is the fact that their profit margins are relatively low compared to Apple. And one of the things that drives them nuts is that a huge amount of the revenue, you know, earlier this week, there was a really interesting interview with Tim Cook. And he talked about the fact that Apple is not a hardware company, which, you know, runs completely counter to what everybody says, where Apple's a hardware company. They're not a software company. But his attitude was, you know, from a revenue perspective, yeah, that piece of hardware is a big part of our revenue, but we get huge revenue streams post the purchase of the hardware, whether it be the software, the music, the movies, the content, whatever. And so he made the comment that to us, you know, to hardware companies, as he called them, the relationship ends at the purchase of the piece of hardware. With Apple, the relationship begins at the purchase of the piece of hardware, and that relationship being where they extract more and more money from you. And Samsung,
they add more and more value.
Exactly.
Come on.
Samsung, they, you know,
as someone in the printing industry, that's how I choose to believe it.
Exactly. yeah, the irony that I'm sitting here playing with my iPad mini, and my iPhone 5 and my, you know, whatever. Anyways,
it didn't take very long for that relationship to move along, did it?
No.
Just had to get a little taste of the sweet nectar.
Oh, man, it's so nice.
It's red delicious, really.
I've still only ever bought one Apple product for myself, I'd like to point out.
The phone?
Yeah, the phone. Which is like a huge investment, but whatever. the phone bill. So what I was going to say is one of the things that Samsung's running into is that with Apple, their first revenue stream comes when they sell the piece of hardware, and then they have this continuing growing revenue stream as you buy more apps and more music and more. Well, in the and for Samsung, they get that revenue stream with the piece of hardware, and then Google makes all the money off of advertising and selling apps and doing everything else. And so it's driving Samsung nuts because they're sitting here going, wow, we'd really like a piece of that pie. We do all the legwork. We do all the hardware. We get all the we do the giant advertising campaign talking about all the apps you can download and give Google all the money for, and all we're doing is selling a piece of hardware. It's driving them nuts. And Google, I think rightly, is saying, we're not going to give you any of that money because we give you the operating system for free.
Yeah, that's part of the deal.
Yeah, and so there's this weird relationship where Samsung's really to the point where they're sitting there going, we want a bigger piece of the pie, even if it requires a bigger investment. And so this brings us to Tizen. Tizen. I'm going to call it Tizen. That might be wrong, but it's the name of their new operating system. And it's been sort of whispers about it. We've actually talked about it on the show before, and it's sort of developing into this idea that it's a full operating system. It would work on...
Fully operational.
It would work on... Exactly. And then they're going to destroy the moon with it. And it's this cool operating system. Yeah. And there's a question about, like, how would you deploy something like this? When would you deploy it, and why would you deploy it? Well, we already covered on why, and because it's worth a tremendous amount of money. The Android or the operating system is a big deal. But there are things that come with an operating system. It's more Android is more than the operating system. Android is the marketplace of music's apps and everything. Well, Samsung's sitting here going, well, dude,
that's awesome, man. You got to maintain that, and you got to improve it, and you got to invest in it. I don't know. Yeah,
That is not a small thing at all. I will agree with you. It is a gigantic undertaking, but it's so profitable that Samsung wants in it bad, and it's becoming more and more clear that they're not satisfied with the nature of their relationship, particularly because the profit margins on their phones are so low. It's not like Apple, who not only do they make a bunch of money on when you buy songs and when you buy apps, but they make unbelievable profit margins when you buy their hardware. And so for Samsung's continued, you know, they're selling tons of phones, they're growing like crazy, but they're not making money like Apple is making money. And
sell their phones for more money.
Well, yeah, but then people will say, why would I buy Samsung Galaxy S3? It costs the same as an iPhone.
Interesting.
And yeah. And you know, I realize that this makes me sound like an Apple fanboy when I say I do think that that's why people buy them.
You don't
have
to deny that, man. We all know. It's okay.
I've talked about this so often, the fact that I think Windows Phone 8 is a better operating system than – or better – especially the Lumia 920.
Did you say Lumia?
Yeah. The Lumia 920 is a much better phone with a much better operating system as a whole package than the Samsung Galaxy S3. Samsung doesn't think that. They think it's the best phone on the market, which is why everybody buys it. But that's just not true. Part of it is the app ecosystem. Part of it is the cost.
They're going to come out with their own phone, or I should say their own operating system, which it sounds like they're going to unveil at that Mobile World Congress that I will not be at later this month in Barcelona, Spain.
Super stoked. There's basically three directions that people are saying. Number one, it can continue to just be a hardware company making hardware that enables other companies to make money from services, content, and advertising. Obviously, option number one is not a good one. Option number two, it could switch from other people's software to its own, dropping Android and Google TV, and using Tizen for mobile devices, and this is a big one, smart TVs exclusively. Or option three, it could offer a mix of people, its own platform and its own and other platform software. So basically saying you could sell one phone with Tizen and one phone with Android. Obviously, that's what they're going to do first, because you wouldn't dare, you know, cut the head off of the cash cow when you finally have differentiated yourself. You're going to give Tizen a little bit of a taste. But I think what they're going to do is they're going to split the world markets. They're basically going to say, yeah, we're going to make a bunch of Tizen phones for China, because Apple doesn't, or I mean, China is not friends with Google right now, and they would have no problem saying, yeah, you can't buy Android phones anymore. You can only buy Samsung phones. And so I sit there and I go, there's actually a way for them to do that. And this is the best part. People get really concerned about the fact, well, there's no ecosystem. What about your apps? And you sit there and go, yeah, what about your apps? Didn't Google just where they basically said we can build our own compilers and our own virtual machines and use the exact same source code? So literally Samsung, if they wanted to, and if it became that important, could build their own app store that compiles Android apps down to a source code that can run on their virtual machine, that can run on their operating system. There is such a little bar to entry right now, and Google has completely opened themselves up to this sort of a thing, but I don't think it's actually necessary, because there's so many markets. You can't buy apps through the Google Play Store in China. It's blocked. I sit there and I go, there's no need for Samsung to, you know, start fresh or to have to compete against the escalating apps. They've got this like blaring opportunity. It's a big deal. Smartwatch, pretty soon here, everybody's like 90% sure, everybody's like 90% sure that Apple's going to have a smartwatch, and they're just trying to come out with something first. So Apple copied us. And all indications show that it's not going to be a light Android operating system on the phone. It's going to be Tizen. And this is the other thing, talking about apps and different things. Samsung is one of the biggest TV sellers in the world, selling smart TVs. They could very easily put this on their phones, on their computers, on their tablets, on their watches, on everything. Mm-hmm. And all this is done just like Apple, where you get services that work together. They can leverage the
Can you Google. Say that one more time? Sorry, you're just breaking up a ton.
No. So they can be
and moving on.
Yeah. So they can put that operating system on phones, on TVs, on tablets, on computers, in laundry machines, in thermostats. They can do it with everything. And then tie all those things together into this holistic, you know, platform that
ecosystem
they can, yeah, thank you, ecosystem that they can launch in China and have basically no competition from Apple or Google right now, and establish themselves as a giant player there, establish, you know, work out all the bugs, and then they can start to launch a campaign in America, and all that suddenly is, you know, it's another gold rush. This is a huge company. You can build apps. You just have to make sure that it, you know, speaks Mandarin in on the apps. I don't know. I think that there's a real opportunity here, and I feel like the more I think about it, the less ridiculous it seems that they would go, that they would quote unquote backstab on Google. And because it's like there's just obviously it's a good strategy to build operating systems. The two biggest tech companies in the world, well, not the two biggest, but two of the biggest companies, tech companies in the world, Apple and Google, what have they done? They built mobile operating systems. How did Microsoft become the king of technology for 20 years? They built an operating system. The idea that somehow, you know, building an operating system and maintaining an ecosystem is a financially bad, poor decision is ludicrous. The question is, how do you enter a market in such a way that you can become the predominant player? Because if you can do that, it's the only way to become a gazillionaire. And I think Samsung is actually poised to be able to do that in a way that Google just can't. And Microsoft hasn't quite gotten their game together yet. Or Apple, you know. I actually think they're in a really good position for this. And over the next, this could really, you know, really change things. And I think it's going to come a lot faster than people were suspecting even 6 months ago. Because the iron is hot. It is time to strike. And in a year or two, I think it'll be way too late. You know, Apple will have figured out what they're doing in India and China. And then you will have to fight against that another thriving ecosystem. And along with Microsoft. So,
right.
Oh, I'm excited to see what happens here.
You can tell.
I fully expect to hate the operating system at first, but I think the potential for it and just the corporate drama of it is going to be crazy.
Totally agree. I think that they, I know that they are a hardware company, and being a software company is different.
Yeah.
And so I'm slightly concerned about, you know, they might have a good one out the gate, and I'm concerned that it will get old fast.
Yeah.
You know, they will let it atrophy.
The only thing I can say is, granted, they have not been building the operating system from the ground up, but they've been heavily modifying Android for quite some time. You know, it's not like they're hiring a bunch of people who, you know,
so are they modifying it the same way, or are they constantly updating it and upgrading it and making it better?
Yes. The second one.
Okay. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
And, you know, and it's one of the things that
I guess me as a consumer, that would be my, that's what I would be wary of before.
And that's why I say, you know, that's why China is such a big deal, because it's very fertile for them to kind of feel things out for a year or two before they really try to, you know, they sell it as an option in America. Yeah, you can buy this phone with it, but no, go buy the Android phone. Whereas it's all they're selling in China, and they can really establish their team. They can establish their engineers and give everybody a chance to get their foot on the ground before they, you know, go after North America and Europe. And I think they're in a great position right now. And really, I don't think Apple has as much to worry about as Google, because it makes you wonder if Google has suspected this for a while, because, you know, they have been buying hardware companies and doing their own hardware and trying to figure all that out, you know?
Yeah, I'm not concerned about Google. Multiple times we have said, oh man, this is going to be the end and death of them, and hasn't turned out to be the case, so I think it'll be fine.
That doesn't make very good radio, James. Talk reasonably about that sort of stuff.
I'm sorry.
You're supposed to be like, "This is it, man. This
We're
is
going
it.
Down."
Next 6 months, yeah. You know, the problem is that like watching companies collapse is like watching extinction. You know, occurrences like they happen really, 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 really rarely, because, you know, things that have evolved to survive are, guess what, really good at surviving. I agree. I think this will hurt Google more than Apple. I'm not saying it's the end of Google by any means. I just think that it's more of a concern for them than Apple. But
all right, fair enough.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm trying to be fair, and I'm glad we can all be fair together.